Beyond Athletic, Episode 8.
Every choice you make has a consequence. And I think, you know, whether it's in the in your job, whether it's in the decisions you make in life, that it's critical.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Before we get into the show with Chris Poole of Florida State University, I'd like to just apologize ahead of time. There was some clicking during our conversation, which happened during the recording, which is one of the reasons on Indiegogo I've got a campaign going to raise some funds so that I can make this a little more professional for you guys. So I apologize. I hope you will enjoy what is a fantastic, short, and very informative interview. Chris Poole is right now coaching at Florida State University, and they're still undefeated going into the last stretch of regular season here. So we wish them the best. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Beyond Athletic podcast. Today we've got on Chris Poole with the Seminoles at Florida State University. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing great, Ryan. It's good to visit with you.
Great to have you on. And I'm really excited because not only is it impressive what you've done with Florida State University team, but in reading your bio and doing a little bit of research on you myself, you've done some incredible things in volleyball so far and definitely are not an in-the-box type of thinker. And I definitely want to get into some of that. But before I start, just to give a little overview for people listening, Coach Poole, he was at Arkansas first at three different schools and built up two of them, got NCAA bid for the first time with one of them, right?
Right.
Yeah. Since then, I mean, there's just a wealth of things you've done and historical things. So I'm trying to wrap it all into one little thing because we're going to get into a little bit of it. But you had an Elite Eight appearance with the NCAA D1 team's Final Four. Now you're ranked nationally number 4, which is the best ever for an ACC conference team, I think, in your history of coaching, right?
Right, it is.
Yeah, the team's 19-0. And I just want to say congrats, first of all.
Well, thank you.
That's so awesome. I know it's really exciting, and I want to also say congrats to your players because I know they're working hard to do the things that you're teaching them. And while, you know, making history is great and everything, and a lot of people celebrate that, you and I both know that it's really about the process and not just the result and looking at what's happening right now, but what can we do right now to get to where we want to be in the future. So that's definitely what I want to talk about a little bit today. But before we do, I like to start off with a quote or motto from people that I have on, kind of to set the tone of your psychology, your philosophy of life. So do you have anything to share with us?
Well, I think my a motto that I've really lived by since I was very young, my parents did a great job in raising me and trying to teach me right from wrong. But one of the things that I really believe in is that every choice you make has a consequence. And I think, you know, whether it's in your job, whether it's in the decisions you make in life, that it's critical. And it's the same way that I've raised my two kids. I've got a 21-year-old son and 18-year-old daughter, and they'll often talk to me about things. And I have repeated that many times throughout their life, from the time they were young until the time they were older, trying to make decisions. But it's something that we look at with our players also. You know, we in trying to be prepared every year, and the decisions they make in off season or the decisions they make on a weekend prior to a match or things like that. It's all critical. There's going to be consequences. If they do things right, then good things are going to happen. If they make bad decisions, then often the results of that can be very negative for them.
Yeah, you said something really important that I've learned throughout my career in volleyball and life, really, as a person, because the two are really so much more related than people think sometimes. And that's what this whole podcast is about, is going beyond just being athletic and being one-dimensional. And a lot of players tend to go out there throughout their career, they go and thinking is they have this self-identity of, I'm an athlete, and then they're left with nothing when athletics are finished. So these decisions off and on, that's the one thing that really I wanted to highlight to people. Decisions that you make off season, on season, they have so many consequences, whether good or bad. And I really, that rings true with me. I can resonate with that big time. So thanks for sharing that. And what I want to do now is give you a little bit of time to talk about briefly, kind of like the Cliff Notes version of how you got started in coaching and the road up until now.
Well, really, I think from the time I was in high school, I realized that it was something that I enjoy. I certainly enjoyed athletics. I realized that it's something that I wanted to do with my life. Getting into college, got involved with boys and girls clubs, coaching. Well, even when I was in college, I was already starting to coach and get involved with teams. And I think from the time that I started, I was having success. I think the success was tied some to the fact that I'm very committed. I'm very dedicated on trying to learn. I was that way as a player, and I bring the same type of attitude to coaching. I was very fortunate when I got out of college, I graduated, that I had a chance to go right to Arkansas Tech University, which was an NAIA school at the time, but that's where I went to school. They had a women's athletic position open where I was an assistant for three different sports, volleyball being one of them. Mm-hmm. And so I worked hard at that, but I began to build from there. And I realized again that it's something I enjoyed, that I was good at. And I kept, I had very high aspirations to do well. When I went to Arkansas State University, I was just 26 years old at the time. I was the youngest or one of the youngest Division I head coaches in the country at the time. Mm-hmm. And while the program had struggled, I wanted to build. I wanted to, I had that fire in me to try to get better and better. Had an opportunity, and probably the big impact in my life was in 1988, going out to California, literally drove out there because it was on my own dime, spent 3 or 4 weeks there with the men's national team, Marv Dunphy, Gary Sato, and Karch was part of that team. It was a great, great influence in my life, and I learned so much because my background in volleyball had pretty much been tied to the Southeast, and the Southeast hadn't broken open yet, really, as far as volleyball goes. And so I learned a lot from them, came back, had tremendous success there at Arkansas State after that, being able to be absorbed into volleyball and learn what I needed to really do. Went on to Arkansas to build a program that had never even had volleyball. So I literally helped them design the court, the locker rooms, everything. Wow. We were able to build there. And in 14 seasons, 10 of the 14, we were in the top two of the SEC every year with Florida. Came on then to Florida State back in 2008. Came into a program that it had some success in years past, but it really struggled in the last 10 years before I got here. They had only been to the NCAA tournament one time in the previous 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so my goal was to make them competitive. And in our second season here, we took virtually a lot of the same players that were here, but just tried to give them a different way of looking things. Again, choices, what kind of choices they made on and off the court, and teach them what it's like to be successful. We went to the NCAA Elite Eight there in 2009, I think pretty much shocked the country. Not only because we had not been tremendously successful in the previous 10 years, but I think because we came out of nowhere. We were a team out of the Southeast and hadn't had a lot of success. But we've gone ahead and followed that up with, in 2011, went to the NCAA Final Four. Last year went to the NCAA Sweet 16 and have been a top 25 team the last 4 years. And so I think we begin to get some respect from teams a little bit, from coaches and And now, really, we're the ones with a target on our back in the ACC. We're the ones in our target on our back in a lot of the national games that we're playing. But that's kind of a quick cliff note of the rise for me. And really, it was a matter of being humble as a young man, realizing and reaching out to people to learn. And I enjoy learning. I don't believe that there's only one way of doing things. And I do believe that if you keep an open mind, you're capable of being able to pull things together from different people and learn from a lot of different resources.
Yeah. This this last part with learning from a lot of different people, I think this is something really important for people to take in. I've said before on the show, mentorship is a huge thing. And surrounding yourself with not like-minded people, but people that can create and add value to your life while you can do the same to theirs. This is extremely important. So in your life up until now, in order to become the humble person, the humble man, the coach that's prepared and that's willing to do so much for others, building programs and all the great things you've done so far, who would you say has been the most influential in your life until this point? And what's a good example of the moment you realized they were?
Well, you know, I've got to go back to my parents first, only because their support was so critical in everything that I've done. Actually, graduating in the late 70s, I graduated high school in 79. Going into coaching was not a popular thing to do. And I was born and raised in Arkansas. And at the time, Arkansas was among the lowest and may still be in teachers' pay. So it was very frowned on to go into coaching. They supported that idea of doing that, even though that wasn't popular at the time. All the way through college, there was a lot of support for me from them. And I think that love, that support, their being there at all of my matches, that was a great help to me. And then there was coaches that certainly made an impact for me. Whether it wasn't always about volleyball, but I had coaches that taught me how to be a man, how to be a coach, how to relate to players, how to understand that there's things bigger than just winning and losing. Now, certainly, it's more fun to win. That's your goal, is to go out and win. But it's about developing winners, whether it's on the scoreboard or it's the way players look at life. And a lot of our players have gone on to be very, very successful, not just in volleyball. We've had a lot that have gone on to play professionally, but we've had a lot that have been very successful in life. And I think it's because we're teaching them to be successful in everything we do. That is a priority. We don't accept being lazy. We don't accept not trying to give your best, and we respect everyone we go up against, but we're always trying to do the best we possibly can to be successful.
Yeah, and that actually shows. I mean, you not only have produced some fantastic volleyball players, but it shows in just the athletes that have come through your program, especially with your time with all the Arkansas teams. And I'm sure now, because I know some of the students that have graduated, they've been top performers in school, because it's not, you know, volleyball then school, it's school then volleyball, even though volleyball and sport takes up a lot of your collegiate career, let's just say, as an athlete. It's really good to hear that someone's focused on that. And that's really why I have this podcast, is because, like you said, you want people to be successful in life. And there are things bigger than just winning. And it's about the learning along the way. So what I want to ask you now, because I definitely want to get into this whole topic of maybe athletes taking things for granted and how student athletes, when they come to school, I know we had talked before about they come to school and then they realize a week after, whoa, I had so much. I have so much to be grateful for, and they come to that realization a week after. What type of things do you do when your students are preparing to come to your school and while they're there, especially in that first year, to try to get them to be on that level so that they don't end up there 4 years regretting some of their learning lessons?
I think part of it certainly is in that communication individually. You know, we try to make sure that we keep our door open, that we're able to be able to communicate with our players and talk to them about life. You know, not just focus on the winning part. We often tell them that if they're doing things right on and off the court, and if they're goals are set to where they are getting good sleep, they're eating right, they're going to class, they're being good citizens, that it is going to make a difference with the outcome of the games. You know, I think a lot of times you have players that, you know, they want to party, they want to, you know, they really take it for granted. I think they see it when they come is, I've got 4 years. And so, and to them, it seems so long, but it is such a slap in the face to them whenever they reach that fall of their senior year. And it's common for them to make the statement, where did my career go? Where was it? And then within that week after they graduate, they're walking back in saying, I want more. You know, I regret I didn't do everything that I could do. And so we try to really teach them from the time they come in young. We try to let them communicate with some of the older players and let them be mentors to them also, even during the visits and stuff. Make sure they spend some time with the seniors. And the seniors are able to talk to them about the fact that, look, you don't want to waste your career overthinking, I've got all this extended time, because it goes fast. And we really try to mentor them in the fact that they want to try to combine their excellence in the classroom, off the court, the way their reputation is so important to them, and how that's going to help them be successful in the future.
Yeah, those are really, really good takeaways from all of that, because I think a lot of players don't come in thinking that way. So you're out of the box, I said before, because you're one of the generation that really started bringing a lot of the international recruiting into things. And I find it interesting that you've had players from so many different places around the world. I mean, to name a few, it's Turkey, Serbia, what, Norway. I mean, there's too many.
Right.
What do you see as being the main difference between your international players' mentality when they come in and your American players when they come in as freshmen, let's say?
One of the things that I think is the greatest difference is, typically speaking, you know, the international player tends to be a little more mature with their thinking. Now, in some cases, that's because of the things they had to go through. For instance, we've had players that they may have left home as 9th, 10th graders to go somewhere to a private school. And because volleyball was important, their education was important. So they were already away from their families. And so them coming in, it's really not anything new to them, where many times with the American players, it's a shock. It's a huge transition for them. They've been used to being a little spoiled, mom and dad taking care of them, mom always having food on the table for them, knowing exactly what they need to do. And I think it's made a big difference part of the time with the international players coming in, because we typically don't see some of the same homesickness or more or less some of the silly bad decisions that they make. I think every young adult is going to make some choices they're going to look back on and wish they would have made better choices. But that's life. You're going to grow from it. And we really try to teach our players, not that you're not going to make mistakes, but you have to learn from your mistakes. And again, that can be on and off the court. You want to learn from everything you're doing. And those are one of the things that I've seen from the international players, is that they probably have had a little more maturity coming in. Typically, a little more ball control, if you're talking about volleyball specifically, just because of their experience overseas. And there's not as many substitutions over there, so they're having to play more full time on the court.
Yeah. And what would you say you look for in athletes that are trying to come as student athletes to university, in terms of not only academics and their level as an athlete, but characteristics as a person?
Well, certainly character is very important for us. I have had teams, and again, if you do this 30 years like I have, you're not going to hit a home run every time with a recruit, because sometimes you bring in a player that their personality just doesn't mix with the rest of your players, and there's not anything you can do about that except try to work with them. Mm-hmm. But certainly character is important. We try to talk a lot to them about being a good teammate, about, you know, it's a big family for those players. They have to understand that it's not an individual sport, how they conduct themselves on the court, with the team, or even off the court, is going to be crucial for that team chemistry overall. And so I think that's one of the things that we try to look for is that character. Them understand that the studies is going to be important also, because sometimes we'll get a player that volleyball is big to them, but school's not. here in, you know, Florida State and in most of your schools in the United States, you're going to have to study or you're not going to remain eligible. So that has got to be an important element in them coming over to school. And then certainly understanding that they have to be open-minded. You have a lot of players that, because they've only been taught one way, sometimes they'll be very narrow-minded, but they have to understand that you're bringing players from all over the country or all over the world. All of them may have a little bit of different teaching on different skills or different offenses, defenses. You have to be open to coming to one decision on what you're going to do out on the court. If you can't function as a team, then you're going to struggle.
Yeah. Awesome. That's a lot of great things. I mean, a lot of players can learn a lot from that and be prepared just by knowing things like that. So thank you so much for sharing. Listen, I know you don't have a ton of time, so I want to wrap up and get into some things to give people really some interesting ways that you feel you learn or you've seen players learning. So in order to do that, what's a book or a learning resource that you love to use to learn new things?
Well, certainly I do try to read a lot of different books, you know, whether that is volleyball books, inspirational books, inspirational quotes. You know, I'm always trying to find things, learn things that way. I like watching volleyball. I like observing top level teams because I think it helps us. It helps us to learn from what other people are doing. And quite honestly, sometimes when you learn, you have to form your own identity for what that is. There's been coaches that I've gone in and I've 80% of what they've said I agree with or learn from. But you have that 20%, I may not necessarily agree, but I still learn from it because I see the things they're doing and I try to figure out, okay, is that what I would want to do? Or is there a way to tweak it just a little to make it more what I would feel would be productive for me? And then certainly, you know, I spend a lot of time reading the Bible and that's more of a characteristic of, you know, wanting to make sure that I'm a role model for the team. You know, really, coaches take on an adoptive parent role. They have to, because in most cases, the parents are not close. And so you're extending your family every time that you do that and understanding the awesome responsibility that you have as a coach in these young players' lives is, you know, you can make a difference on their success and in their future. And in that time period, that 17 to 22 year old is as big an impact as the impact the parents have made when they were young. Certainly the parents have to set that example when they're young, but that coach has an awesome responsibility to be that leader and that role model in their lives to make sure that they're forming some very important decisions and choices as young adults.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. I think I wanted to throw something in there. There is a fantastic resource for people out there that are looking to learn exactly what you're talking about taking things from certain people that do what you do. And maybe you don't agree with them, but kind of like, here's a piece, and then using what works for you and being open-minded to those things. And there's a fantastic documentary I saw recently called Jiro Dreams of Sushi. And I really recommend that to you if you want to watch it. It's about a Japanese sushi chef, uh-huh. And it's incredible. So your players might get a ton out of that. I know you would.
Sure.
And what's a cause or something you like to do to add value to other people's lives?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I do that I think adds value is, you know, when I recruit these players, from the time I'm recruiting them, I talk to them and their parents about the fact that I'm going to treat every player I have as if they're my own kid or how I would want someone else treating them. You know, many times you know, parents will talk about the fact that they've had different coaches that, you know, will treat them in such a way that they feel is very disrespectful or things like that. I always look at it as, and again, I've got a 21 and 18 year old, so it's easy for me to look at it in comparative terms. I want to treat my players the way I would want any other coach to treat my own kids. And I think if you do that, you're adding value in their lives, which means I'm going to push them. You know, I want them to be respectful. I'm going to demand that they are good citizens, that they are working as hard as they can. And that's the way I would want someone treating my own. I would hope that they would push them. I would hope that they would expect them to be good people on and off the court and in life. But earning that respect is so important. And I think many people underestimate what a reputation is. And understanding that, you know, it's easy to lose that a good reputation over not doing things right or making bad choices. And so I think that's one of the things that I certainly try to add value in any person's life by being a good role model and by really talking about the fact that every decision they make is important.
Going back to every choice has a consequence.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for everything today. And before we wrap up, I want to ask you one last thing and then give you a chance to leave people with some way to catch up with Florida State Volleyball University and yourself online somehow, however that may be. So for sure, give us that information after. But what's your definition of being beyond athletic?
Definition of being beyond athletic. Well, character is important. Reputation is important. You know, there's more than just being an athlete. There is school. There's the bigger picture of how you treat other people. You know, you can go back to a lot of things that as hopefully parents have taught their own young, you know, daughters and sons as they're growing up, that how you treat other people is, you know, the way you would want to be treated. And looking past all those things, the athleticism part is great. The athletics is great. But it is so much fun to work with young ladies that just care about each other, that have that big picture in mind, and that understand that if they go out there and they work it hard every day, then there's nothing you're going to regret when you get to the end.
That's fantastic. It's definitely something that everybody can answer totally different. And I love it because I threw you a curveball and I know you like to be prepared. But that's what the show is all about. And I really want people to hear from people that have fought in life and made their own way and had support from people and have had some level of success on and off the court. And you certainly have. And I really appreciate you for taking time today. And I want to wish you continued success. And give a big hug to my friend Milica Kubera there, because I'm in Serbia. Thank you so much, Chris.
Sure. Thank you very much, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us. And share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at Beyond Athletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.